The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, it is Tuesday. How is it only Tuesday? My goodness, the week begins Monday, and by Tuesday, I feel like it should be Friday already because so much keeps happening. And it's just hard to process it all, but we'll try. I'm Nicole Sandler. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh will be here. Laffy is an old friend. For those who don't know, I met Laffy, it's got to be 10 years ago or more, on Twitter. We became buds, and she started doing a segment on my show. And the thing about Laffy is she's on Twitter like all the time. She's got a lot of followers, and that is her main outlet. She used to blog at the Political Carnival, but then she moved to did it all on Twitter, and she writes occasionally at NicoleSandler.com. Anyway, so she we do a thing called My Tweet Spot. So we mine Laffy's Twitter stream for the latest news, and I got to tell you, that's where it breaks. I see things on Twitter before I get an alert on my phone, say from the Washington Post or the New York Times or any breaking news alert. I usually see it on Twitter first. So it's an interesting way to look at the breaking news. Anyway, Laffy will be here today, and I think we have a special guest coming in. Or actually calling in to chat with Ivanka today. So Ivanka will be here, and a special guest, hopefully, as well. For those, the audio is fuzzy again. I got to tell you, I did something in a previous life to where the technical gods hate me. I'm working on it. Just know that it is a thing I'm aware of. The new board that I got, I'm getting rid of it. I'm going to get another one. The problem is right now, everything's out of stock because of the COVID. So I know, I see what's the problem here. I think my mic was up too hot. Hopefully this'll help a little bit. Let me know if that's any better. But anyway, I'm working on it. It's an ongoing, process that I am working on. All right. Hopefully that helped a little bit. Fingers crossed. And I appreciate you guys letting me know because what I hear is fine, but it goes through so many pipes. You know, what you guys are hearing is the YouTube audio that you're giving me feedback on. Then I can go to the NicoleSandler.com chat room. And apparently the audio streams are okay, but you're telling me it's better. Okay. So, it's a process, working on it. I promise you I should play one of these days an open that I used to play for the show. And it was, it's our friend Boca Brittany Summers. And she goes, when Nicole Sandler sits down to do a show, she's the board operator, the engineer, the producer, the host, I do everything, and I could say I'm not very good at any of it. I'm just proficient enough to get by and to be dangerous. So I apologize. Hopefully it's a little better now, and I am working on it. It is an ongoing process. Okay. So much happening today, and I've got a lot of news to get to before we get to Laffy, and I want to get to Laffy early because again, we have some special guests stopping by. So the funny today is a quickie, but it is funny. So let's get to that right away. It comes to us courtesy of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And it kind of speaks or sings for itself. So here we go.
Morning, sources close to the White House say President Trump is furious that his much-hyped campaign reboot went bust. His Saturday night rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, drawing a much smaller than expected crowd. TikTok users and fans of Korean pop music groups on Twitter saying they registered online for free tickets to the rally with no intention of actually going.
man who's probably insane. Oklahoma, the speech went horribly awry. Thanks to TikTok fans and K-pop stands, the upper deck is bluer than the sky. He'll explain he can walk down a ramp and drink water just with one hand. And when he says,
slow the testing down, please. Okay.
Oh, man. That is just too good. That is so, so good. Again, these cold opens from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert are either eh or brilliant. That one goes in the brilliant. Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, so here we are. This is a busy news day. So I'll tell you what, we're going to get to Laffy in a little bit, but I want to get through some of the news. So with no further ado, I guess let's hit it.
I read the news today. Oh,
boy.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Fuck it.
You know.
Do it live.
Just when I think he's going to leave us alone.
We'll do it live.
There is
fucking thing
okay,
sucks.
Bill. God, just when I think you're done. All right. There's breaking news. It seems like I say that every day, but there is new news, and this is a whopper. And we sort of knew it. Oh, great. We've detected copyrighted audio and video in your stream. Your stream may be temporarily suspended because I played the Colbert thing. Okay. Hopefully that goes away because I'm not playing it anymore. All right. So here's the breaking news. A prosecutor who withdrew from the Roger Stone case, remember this, when after the Justice Department intervened to recommend a lighter sentence? You remember that. Well, this prosecutor, his name coincidentally happens to be Zelensky. Who was the name of the Ukrainian president? I'm just, you know, saying coincidence. Anyway, he has said that he intends to testify before Congress that he and his colleagues were repeatedly pressured to cut Roger Stone a break. And we're told that it was because of his relationship with the president, Donald Trump. Aaron Zelensky, one of the four prosecutors who quit the case, will testify before the House Judiciary Committee tomorrow. And according to his prepared testimony, he's going to say, what I heard repeatedly was that Roger Stone was being treated differently from any other defendant because of his relationship with the president. Then he continued, I was also told that the acting U.S. attorney was giving Stone so much unprecedentedly favorable treatment because he was, quote, afraid of the president. Wow. So Zelensky is going to appear alongside antitrust prosecutor John Elias, who plans to testify that Attorney General William Barr personally ordered the Justice Department's antitrust division to launch politically motivated reviews of 10 cannabis mergers. I don't know where that came from, but so this is all going on. So there will be testimony tomorrow. There was a lot of action of people trying to get the House to subpoena Barr to show up tomorrow, or to subpoena, Bolton, now that his book is out. And the book is out. Yeah. So stay tuned. We'll see. It is a busy, busy day in America. Donald Trump is, I guess, in Arizona now to hold another rally. This one, he's lowering expectations a little bit. Instead of a 19,000-seat arena, he's doing it in a church that seats 3,000 people. A church that seats 3,000 people? Now, granted, I don't go to churches. I don't go to, you know, any house of worship, as it were. But I thought they're supposed to be, like, intimate and small gatherings. 3,000 people? And a church, really? I guess he likes doing things at churches where he can hold up a Bible. Anyway, so he's doing that. And of course, Arizona is one of the states that's having an explosion of COVID outbreaks. So that's all happening. At the same time as Trump is on his way to Arizona on Capitol Hill, Dr. Fauci, the CDC's head, Dr. Robert Redfield, and representatives from Health and Human Services and the Food and Drug Administration testified before the House Energy and Commerce Committee about COVID-19. And basically, if we have time later, maybe with Laffy, we'll go through some of this with her. But Fauci said, this shit's getting bad. This shit's real. Like, stop it. So he's trying to push back a little bit, but I guess it's hard to push back when you're pushing back against this orange monolith, this hulking thing. Anyway, today is also primary day in New York and Kentucky. And there are some big upsets possible. In New York, the district right next door to AOC's district that covers Bronx and Queens, where she beat Joe Crowley, who was the number three guy in House leadership. History could repeat itself right next door. Jamal Bauman is a 44-year-old Bronx middle school principal, a black man, in his first run for public office, and he's challenging 16-term incumbent and chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Elliot Engel. And if anyone's prime to be picked off this cycle, it is Elliot Engel. And we'll see what happens. This could be magical. There are a few other races that we've covered here in the last few weeks. Nate McMurray and names that are escaping me right now. But with Howie, we've had a lot of the candidates on. So there are a few good progressive candidates running throughout New York. In Kentucky, progressive Charles Booker has been gaining momentum, well, for the last few weeks. Anyway, since the protests over racial injustice and police brutality have surged, Amy McGrath, she's a fundraising juggernaut. Right. And she's little Chucky Schmucky's handpicked person, mostly because she's like, I'd love to work with Donald Trump. Yeah, you know, I guess I've been misquoting her, but she did say something along the lines of she's a Democrat for Trump, looking forward to working with him. She's the wrong person. I have a feeling if Amy McGrath is a nominee, and this is just my opinion, that she will not beat Mitch McConnell. Charles Booker, on the other hand, is a distinct alternative, somebody that progressives feel happy about voting for. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that Charles Booker wins the primary in Kentucky. Red flags are already being raised in Kentucky, where the number of polling places has been slashed. I heard Lawrence O'Donnell explain this last night.
Kentucky could be headed for an election day disaster because there will be fewer than 200 polling locations in the entire state of Kentucky.
Wow.
Jefferson County, which includes the city of Louisville, is home to half of Kentucky's black voters. During a normal election year, Jefferson County alone has 256 polling locations. Yep. Tomorrow, the Louisville Exposition Center, with 350 voting booths will be the only polling location for Jefferson County's more than 610,000 voters.
One polling location for 650,000 voters. I hope everybody's voting by mail. I really hope everyone's voting by mail. All right, there's a lot of other news. It's in What's News, which you can download at NicoleSandler.com. Or if you're a subscriber to my podcast, you also get What's News daily. Now, the six-minute version runs all day on Progressive Voices, but the extended version is what I upload and send out as a podcast. And today, there's a lot of stuff that I don't have time to get to all of it here. But there is one other area that I do want to get into. And this has to do with Donald Trump gaslighting or lying. You know, here's the thing. This administration can't get its story straight these days. On Monday, yesterday, reporters were treated to conflicting statements from Trump and his senior administration officials on a number of issues. First, from Trump's comments on coronavirus testing, yeah, to the firing of U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman, to the China trade deal and beyond. But really, the burning question yesterday was why Trump said at his Tulsa rally that he had asked for coronavirus testing to be slowed down.
When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people. You're going to find more cases. So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
Ugh. So that made everyone sit up and take notice and go, what the fuck? There's a great cartoon that I shared today, and it was Trump in his doctor's office. And it's like, well, Donald Trump's going to stop weighing himself, so he'll stop gaining weight. Or, you know, that's his reasoning. This is how his poses as his brain. That's how it functions. Anyway, the official response when questioned about that was, well, that was a joke. Here's Kayleigh McEnany, who, by the way, stands at the briefing room, the White House briefing room podium, in like a cocktail dress. Yesterday, she was wearing a hot pink cocktail dress that was off the shoulder, so no bra strap showing. So what is she, like going braless in front of the White House press corps? And when, I mean, David is the one who said, what the hell is she wearing? And I realized that's how Donald likes it.
Saying that he told his people to slow down testing is not true.
It was a comment that he made in jest. It's a comment that he made in passing, specifically with regard to the media coverage and pointing out the fact that the media never acknowledges that we have more cases, because when you test more people, you find more cases.
Is it appropriate to joke about coronavirus when 120,000 people have died?
He was not joking about coronavirus. I just said he was joking about the media and their failure to understand the fact that when you test more, you also find more cases.
Oh, please. Well, the thing is, somebody, some reporter, I don't know, Joe St. George, asked Trump if, you know, what the hell was that? And he said, well, are you serious?
We're doing all these tests and it shows cases. If other countries aren't doing, or if we did slow
sorry
down,
about the
we
voice.
Show nearly as many cases. You're showing people that are asymptomatic. You're showing people that have very little problem. You're showing young people that don't have a problem. Ugh. But we're doing so much testing, 25
so
million
much
tests.
Testing. Nobody thought.
But did you ask to slow it down?
If it did slow down, frankly, I think we're way ahead of ourselves, if you want to know the truth.
Okay, so he didn't deny it. And now, apparently, today, he's saying, no. What he said was... Here's what he said in response. Someone asked him, and... you know, you had everybody, you had McEnany say it. You had Navarro say he was joking. I've got a bunch of clips. I'm not going to waste your time with it. But then today he was asked again, and Trump said, I don't kid. Wait, shit. I thought I had a shorter version of this. I don't want to play the whole thing because you guys are going to get mad at me if I keep playing his voice. So let me find the the one with the drop. If I can, here we go. All right. So again, he was asked, were you joking? Were you kidding when you said that? Because that's what your administration is saying. And Donald Trump's response was,
I don't kid. Let me just tell you. Let me make it clear.
I don't kid? That's his excuse every time he says something that's so batshit fucking crazy. The excuse is, oh, it was only a joke.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
He was joking at the time. Yeah. We all know.
When you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, you just see them thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice.
I believe he was making a joke at the time.
They were like death. And un-American. Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean,
treason.
Yeah, I guess why not?
The president was clearly joking with his comments.
Yeah. This just came out. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Yeah, he does.
Clearly, the president was making
a joke
during the 2016 campaign.
But.
I don't kid.
Right. I don't kid. By the way, when he said something, oh, it's treason to disagree with him. It's treason. Well, yesterday, Donald Trump actually suggested that Barack Obama, the previous president, was guilty of treason. I'm going to go back to May. You know, when Donald Trump started on this Obamagate bullshit, and Philip Bump at a Rose Garden ceremony asked him flat out, What are you talking about? What are you accusing President Obama of doing? And here was his answer.
Mr. President, in one of your Mother's Day tweets, you appear to accuse President Obama of the biggest political crime in American history by far. Those were your words. What crime exactly are you accusing President Obama of committing? And do you believe the Justice Department should prosecute him?
Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected.
Yeah.
And it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on and if you look at now all of this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning. Some terrible things happened, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again.
What?
And you'll be seeing what's going on over the coming weeks. But I wish you'd write honestly about it, but unfortunately, you choose not to do so. Yeah, John, please.
What is the crime exactly
that
you're accusing him of?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody. All you have to do is read the newspapers, except yours.
You know what that is, right?
Bullshit.
Thank you. And then, so today, he brought it up again because he's flailing. He's grasping for anything that, you know, to take our attention away from his the insanity around him. And so today he brought it up again. This time he had an answer for what Obamagate is.
On Obama and the spying situation, this idea that they were spying on your campaign, you've been asked before about what crime he would have potentially committed. But I remember you talking to
treason.
Treason.
Look, when I came out a long time ago, I said they've been spying.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm not going to assault your ears with that. Treason. He said it's treason. Unbelievable. All right. It is the Nicole Sandler Show. We've got a laugh coming up. We've got some special guests joining us. We got to take a quick time out on the Progressive Voices Network and hopefully play some commercials. And we will be right back. Okay, hopefully that worked. So what we'll do while they're in commercials is I'm going to play you another commercial because the Lincoln Project came out with yet another ad. These guys are prolific. And they're they're really, really good at producing these ads. But again, I doesn't mean I want them to take over our government, you know, Republicans and all that. But here is the latest ad from the Lincoln Project. It's called Truth.
The most deceptive, lying president in history finally told the truth. Somehow, it was more shocking than all his deceptions.
When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people. You're going to find more cases. So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
Slow the testing down? Slow down our chance to save tens of thousands of lives. Slow down our understanding of where COVID is and how it's spreading. Slow down the steps to reopen the economy. Every single expert told him to test more and test faster. And now, we know his response.
Well, slow the testing down, please.
That's why this November, more than ever, the choice is clear. It's America or Trump.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to re-establishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
Hi, it's radio veteran Nicole Sandler. Sadly, the radio we all grew up listening to no longer exists. The industry in which I worked for 40 years has been decimated.
I turned up the radio. I can't hear a
Thanks to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, a handful of giant corporations control what you hear on the so-called public airwaves all across the nation. But times have changed.
Turn it up, a little bit higher. Radio.
It's the 21st century, and at Progressive Voices, we're reclaiming our time. Radio, your way. Progressive Voices, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Nicole Sandler, Brad Friedman, Mike Malloy, and many more. Download the free Progressive Voices app, now powered by TuneIn. Speaking truth to power 24/7 on the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, I think we're back, or hopefully in a moment.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. We are, well, I'm here. I'm not quite sure that Laffy's here. I know she's here physically. Laffy, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can
okay.
you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Okay. It's not coming through my headset.
Oh, really? Again? And we just tested it, didn't we? We tested
yes,
it, and we had it working.
I can't find the setting. That's the problem.
Oh.
It doesn't pop up.
Huh. That's weird. And now I sound all tinny. It sounds like I'm coming through your sound. Yeah, that is weird.
Coming through my phone.
You
yeah.
know what? I am going to call you back, and we'll just do audio only. Because this, yeah.
Oh, then I got to get my other headset.
Okay, go get your other headset set up.
Okay.
And now everyone has, at least in the YouTubers, have seen Laffy. We've got to get back to the drawing board on this. So I'll tell you what. While we, okay, you hang up, and find your other thing. And while we regroup, I'm going to play for you. I had something else. What am I going to play for you here? This best laid plans and all that stuff. Another Lincoln Project commercial. Why not? So because they're brilliant and, you know, they poke fun at Trump. So take it away, Lincoln Project, and we'll be right back with Gotta Laugh, I hope, on the Nicole Sandler Show. Damn.
Playing pretend again, saying he's the one to take on China. They can't wait. They know who Donald Trump is. Weak, corrupt, ridiculed. China beats him every time. No matter what he says, China's got his number. Trump even begged Chinese leader Xi to help him win re-election. Like a dog. Trade negotiations? China won. Trump's tariffs? They laughed as Trump hit American families with higher taxes. Trump's trade war, farms and small businesses went bankrupt. China's military, expanding without American leadership in the region. President Xi, Trump rolls over for China's president every time. Is it Ivanka's secret deals in China?
Mm.
Is it the $250 million debt Trump owed the Bank of China?
Huh.
It doesn't matter, because when it comes to Trump, China can't lose.
Uh-huh.
The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Well, thank you.
Donald.
Whoops. Thank you. Thank you, Lincoln Project. All right. Shall we try it again? Let's do it.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. So we'll try again. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I couldn't hear what you just played.
Oh, shit. Well, okay, but that shouldn't be a problem. Just when you do your press one.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm like hearing myself back through your phone. This is weird.
Now you are?
Yeah. It's weird.
My phone's not even on Skype.
I know. That's weird. I don't know. Oh, I think I know what it was. I have this monitor up too high. Okay. I think it's good now. So, gotta laugh.
you know, best laid plans and all that stuff. Wow. Hi.
Hey.
We tested. People should only know. You guys, we don't just wing it. We tested this. We tested it yesterday and we tested it again this morning. And, you know, I'm telling you, I did something in a previous life to a technical person because the technical gods hate me. It's just it. The technical gods hate me. So today is a big day. Aside from all the nonsense going on, the John Bolton book is out. Laffy.
I thought you were going to do
press one. Sorry. Before we see, I'm all discombobulated. Okay. So never mind. So Tuesdays we get together with Gotta Laugh, but first we have to get her on the line. Hello.
Hello. Yes. You've reached the Trump's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad rally hotline.
Ah, there it was. Yes, it was.
And I hope you can hear me clearly. Everything okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, good. Press one if you think things got so bad that at his next rally, Trump's going to ban chairs so there won't be any empty seats.
Yeah, that'll work.
Press two if you think to make it look like he can get bigger crowds, Trump's going to hold his next rally in an elevator.
Uh-huh.
Press three if you think at his next rally, Trump's going to drink a glass of water while walking down a ramp as he pulls a piece of toilet paper off his shoe and orders less testing without wearing a mask, all to make himself look less foolish.
There you go.
Nice.
Touche. That was a good one.
Oh, my God. Okay, so.
Okay, by the way.
Everything was.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, to whoever just asked in the chat room, we saw Laffy. Why did you take her picture away? Because the sound wasn't working right. That's why. But we'll figure it out.
We got to figure it out because something, the thing that lets my headset work and lets you hear me properly, it didn't pop up. I couldn't touch it. And none of the settings on my phone would deal with that. So.
Anyway. Okay. Well, we'll play around with it.
Anyway, we had to jump to tweets or else we're never going to get through this one.
Okay. So, hold on. Let me find the birdies to let them loose. Let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
So, Laffy, what are the Twitters buzzing about?
Oh, my God. Okay. So this came up yesterday. This is the weirdest thing. The State Department's top spokeswoman on Monday muted the line of a reporter asking about Bolton's book during a briefing extolling press freedom.
Yes, they did do that. Isn't that amazing?
That was from Politico. Yeah. So they got on the line and they cut this. They literally said, let's mute this person because they said, well, I can't remember the question, but something about, and how did that respond? You know, how does he respond in terms of the Bolton book? Sorry, we're not talking about that. Mute.
Right. And they muted him. You know, and did you hear that? Was it last night or the night before when the protesters in Lafayette Square were trying to pull down the statue of Andrew Jackson, the marshals or whoever was clearing the park, the Secret Service went into the press room and told all the media they had to leave, which, as far as I can tell, has never happened before. And then they apologized, like, oh, I guess we weren't supposed to do that. Obviously, somebody told them to do that.
Well, you know, all I know is they're doing everything they can to eliminate the press, period, and eliminate coverage of anything that makes them look bad. And I'm so screwed up over on this end right now, trying to scramble. Let's go to the next one, because the next one is the video I sent you.
Oh, okay. So
you have it?
I do have it. I have it. All right.
Okay, so this is a video that Nicole's going to show you. And my buddy John V. Moore, at John V. Moore on Twitter, just wondered what Trump thought watching Vice President Pius McKissass as he boarded Air Force Two.
Okay. And yes. And so if you're not watching on YouTube or Facebook Live, we will narrate for you. There's really no audio, video, no audio to go along with it. So we'll, oh shit. And well,
and I can't watch YouTube because.
Mike Pence just climbed up the stairs on Air Force Two and he got almost to the top. and then he stumbled and fell over. He did a Gerald Ford, and then he like caught himself and turned around and waved at the whoever might have seen that. Like, I didn't really do that. So it was.
But everybody was asking if maybe he did it on purpose to make Trump look better.
Oh, come on.
I swear to God.
Oh, God. Do I think Mike Pence is a sycophant? Yes. But do I think he would do that and make a fool of himself to make Trump look good? I don't think he'd do that. But
yeah, well, I didn't tend to think that either. But so many people who I pay attention to said the same thing. Now I've got your picture up. Yay. Okay. So everything got messed up at once. I don't even know what happened with the picture. Anywho, back to the tweets. Empty Wheel, our buddy Marcy. Okay.
Yeah.
So she tweeted over Manu Raju of CNN, who said when Trump said, "I don't kid."
Yeah.
Empty Wheel said, "Oh, so you did mean to ask Russia for help hacking Hillary Clinton? Glad we cleared that up, that you lied under oath about that then."
Oh, interesting. Yes. You know, and all those other things. I have a whole list of other things that you know, he later said, "I was only kidding." And I mean, it's his go-to excuse for everything. About the Sharpie, remember, to alter the NOAA hurricane map?
Oh, yeah.
Later
just
he
kidding.
Said, it was a joke. I was just doing it to mess with people, not because of Alabama and Dorian. About the, injecting disinfectant and shoving a UV light up your ass to kill the virus. He later said he was just messing with the reporters. You know, there's a technical term for that.
Bullshit.
And it goes on and on. I mean, this is what he does. And there have been a number of, montages produced today along the lines of the one that I played. Just stunning. Just incredible.
Well, I couldn't. I'm pretty sure you played the bullshit.
Oh, I did. I played bullshit. You couldn't hear it.
Okay, good.
Yes. It was bullshit.
I know you that well.
Yes.
Okay. So Brandi Buckman, who is wonderful at live tweeting all these different press, you know, not pressers, but the what do you call them? So they had today hearings.
Yes.
And so that she was live tweeting the Fauci hearing, and one of the quotes was, Fauci said, "If we're going to have a vaccine, we'll have it by early 2021." And what I picked up on is if he said, "If we're going to have a vaccine," that's really important. And it seemed to, of course, fly over everybody's head that he said "if."
Right.
He's kept trying to qualify his answers. He was cautiously optimistic. He said, you know, of course, we would never put out anything that wasn't ready to be put out. It's possible. And the way it's being reported is, of course, and the way the stock market went up was, of course, that the vaccine will be ready. And that's not necessarily true at all.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well,
yeah. So there was that.
Yes.
And then also, Fauci got a little testy because Representative McKinley, a Republican, started asking him, "Why didn't you push for masks in March if you're so hot on masks now? You didn't do it then. Then you said we shouldn't wear masks." And so Fauci said, "Okay, we're going to play that game. Here's why." And he literally said, "Okay, we're going to play that game." He said, "Because they didn't want to take PPE and masks away from hospitals and providers."
Wow.
At which point McKinley interrupted him.
Of course they did. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
Okay.
Ellie Mistal.
Yes, Ellie Mistal, who, by the way, will be here on Friday. The last time he was on, we had audio problems. That wasn't my fault. That was his phone.
It's
always my fault. It's always my fault, but that time it wasn't.
Today.
So anyway.
Not today. Today it's, if I could just figure out how Skype is on my phone, it doesn't come up. I don't understand.
We'll
anyway.
Play with it again.
We will. And I will somehow get it right. So the GOP tweeted, at GOP.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. No, the quote from Fauci, "None of us have ever been told to slow down on testing. That is just a fact." Okay, that just is a fact. And Ellie said, "Weird flex for the GOP to tweet out that Trump is a liar."
Weird for who to tweet out that GOP is a liar?
For the GOP.
Oh.
The GOP. And then he did a little smiley face.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So Trump lied. That's what I was trying to tweet out too. When he said that, people were misinterpreting it as, oh, so he's not being slowed down. But no, but Trump said he was slowing down testing.
Yes, he did. And he said it again today. And everybody, I have Peter Navarro telling Jake Tapper, he was joking. We have, what's her name, McEnany. See, he was joking. Everyone's saying he was joking. He said, I wasn't joking. If you don't do the testing, you have fewer cases. What's so hard to understand? You right. slow down the testing. We don't have so many numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. On him. That's how I feel right now. I'm doing shorthand because we don't have time. Okay, gotcha. So Matthew Miller mm-hmm. said the administration has stated reason that Barr can't testify before the House is that officials need to focus on fighting the pandemic, which is odd since the official actually in charge of fighting the pandemic, Dr. Fauci, uh-huh. is testifying before the House right now.
Exactly. Yes, that's interesting.
Imagine that.
That is interesting. Yep.
No. I guess Barr could testify, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure he can.
Yes, he can. Yeah. He can, but no. he doesn't mean he will, but he can. Oh, no. He's certainly able to, yes.
Well, yesterday, my mind is just, Nadler said, you know, that they're going to subpoena him, and if he doesn't honor the subpoena, they're going to withhold money from whatever it is that he needs money for.
From the Justice Department. In fact, yeah. Do I have that here? Here's a little bit of Nadler. And you know what? I cut it off before it got to that part. All I have is Nadler saying, yes, we're going to subpoena him. So that happened. I did hear that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This came out this morning. University of Michigan withdraws from hosting Trump-Biden debate. The decision comes amid concerns about holding a large gathering during the coronavirus mm-hmm. pandemic. The debate will be was scheduled for October 15th, will be in Miami. Okay. Why do they need an audience?
They don't. But this is Florida. You're not going to hear this, Laffy, but everyone else will.
Oy, Florida.
Anyway, yeah, that's our theme song.
I heard your side of it. Well, you know, when they did the primary debates without an audience, it was so much better.
Yes.
No interruptions.
Right.
No pandering to the audience.
Yep.
No waiting for applause. No, none of the time-consuming cheers. This would be so much better
it would
with
be
nobody
better.
In the audience.
Yep. That's my suggestion that they do that because they listen to me all the time.
Of course they do. Just like they listen to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I've got a little thread here.
Okay.
Little, not too long. Yeah. It's only four tweets.
Okay.
But it starts out with this. EU may exclude US as it reopens borders, citing failures on virus.
That would be just perfect. So they're going to close their borders to us. You know, our friend Deborah Newell Tornello, Liprit, who does the Oi Florida segments with me on the show, who lives in Florida, they have a home also in Ontario, Canada. She can't go up there because you can't cross the border now.
Well, Amy Siskind goes on and says the EU has grouped us in with Brazil and Russia in blocking us from traveling there due to the U.S. losing control of the coronavirus. Trump has made us one of the shithole countries. Yes,
we are. Hey.
Then Hamed Aliaziz, uh-huh. I hope I got that right, from BuzzFeed.
Okay.
He said Trump started a trend.
Yeah, he does.
And then finally, Molly Jong Fast said, "Trump has made America so great that no one wants us anymore."
Uh huh. Okay, I get it.
And that's the end of my tweeties because of the surprise.
Now we have a surprise. So I'm going to call this phone number that I still have in my phone from the days when I worked in New York, because I heard that Donald Trump wanted to talk to Ivanka about the new John Bolton book that's out, because I understand they're both sort of mentioned in there. So is Ivanka here? Ivanka, you here?
Hello?
Daddy.
Oh, well, okay. That's who I was hoping would call. How are you, Ivanka?
Daddy Bolton says you can talk your way out of anything. I hope that doesn't include our very special relationship.
No, I try to talk my way like into a more special relationship. I wouldn't want to talk my way out of this, what we have. It's a great, you know, great father-daughter.
I love when you call me your son. It gives me that rush.
Well, it's when you have, you know, I have Don Jr. You've had to be like the great daughter and the great son because, you know, with Don Jr. and Eric, it's like between the two of them, I don't feel like I have one son.
You've got three daughters, though.
I do. Well, yes. You're like three daughters. I mean, you're so tremendous that it's almost like, you know, Ivanka, you could be three people, like a wife, a daughter, and a friend. You're almost three different roles you could play. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, I love when we role play, but let's not go there right now, okay, Daddy? Daddy, I totally...
I love it. You know, see now what you're doing right there. You know, Daddy. That I've said it. When you say Daddy, I love it when you say Daddy.
Daddy, I totally don't get why Uncle Johnny, I mean, Mr. Bolton, thinks you're so moody and vindictive and full of yourself. I mean, I am totally attracted to you and Jared for having those very traits.
Well, you know, I know he's sort of a, you know, he's like the diet version of me, Jared Kushner. But I think that Bolton, I think he's such an angry guy because he had all those, like, he's a failed musician. He had a couple of hits in the 1980s. And then, you know, you just look at him. He looks terrible now. He used to have some talent. And now he's just an angry guy with a walrus mustache.
I think he used to use his mustache hairs for the strings on his instrument, Daddy.
He might have. He very well might have.
I think he did. I think that's something that he might do just to impress you.
Well, he's not impressing me anymore. His book is going to be a failure, and it's, you know, it's full of lies and lies and classified material. We can't have either of those things, and they're both terrible for the country, terrible for us. And you know, I hope his book fails. I know it's going to fail. And you know, I want to get in more of a good mood. Obviously, I'm in Arizona right now with you know, this great faith rally we're having at a church. It's going to be just a strong...
I love when you talk God, Daddy. Please talk God.
Well,
please.
You know, and I love it when you call out to God. When I walk by you and Jared's room
God.
Night and I hear you.
God.
You know, I especially like it when you're very prayerful. When you
God.
Oh. I got to be honest, though. When you're with Jared, I don't think you don't sound as excited as, you know, in other years when I would walk by your room late at night.
But God.
I will say that faith is very important to all of us. Obviously, we're different faith now that you... I think you had the fingers crossed when you did the whole conversion, but still, we're different. We're sort of different faiths, but that's okay.
I just wanted to produce the yarmulkes in my sweatshops.
Well,
Daddy.
You know, they're beautiful yarmulkes, I think they're pronounced, but I think they're beautiful.
You have such a good accent. I love when you do different languages, Daddy.
Well,
Daddy,
you know, I'm great friends with Bibi Netanyahu, the great Israeli king. Okay, you know, they call Jesus king of the Jews, but I really think it's Bibi.
Bibi. Say Bibi again, Daddy.
Bibi.
Thank you. Daddy, some reporter.
To what I prefer, which are DDs, if you know what I mean. I think you know what I mean, because I think we still have the receipts from yours.
I always know what you mean, Daddy. Daddy, some reporter said that Mr. Bolton's revelations have a level of intimacy never before seen in a book. And Daddy, how much did you tell Bolton about us?
Well, I told, you know, I said that you're, you know, such a talented, beautiful person, okay? And that a lot of people know this because I've said this other places, that if you weren't my daughter, we might be dating. And I think that's the highest compliment a father can give to a daughter.
I get high off your compliments, Daddy. I love hearing that. I especially loved when you thought about my having boobies when I was only a kid. I thought that was cool.
I thought that was Tiffany.
Tiffany, Daddy. I thought that was about me.
It was about Tiffany.
Who's Tiffany?
Let's see.
That's Marla's daughter, Donald. Marla's your other daughter. Tiffany Trump, and she graduated from Georgetown Law School, and you didn't say a word about it.
Well, I mean, it's a good school. It's no Harvard, but, you know, good for her, whoever she is. You know, it's funny we have the same last name, but, you know, Trump is not the most uncommon name. I'm sure there's other, you know, every person with the last name Brown doesn't have to find the richest person named Mr. Brown and then, you know, get a message. But it's good for her, whoever she is.
I once met a Muhammad Trump. Does that matter?
First of all, I don't think there are any Muhammad Trumps.
No, I swear to God, Daddy. I swear I would never lie to you.
I wouldn't let them in the country, so I hopefully met them at another, you know, in a foreign country, because we've put a total ban on Muhammad Trumps.
It was on one of my trips with Jared to make us look like we knew what we were doing. We went to other countries. Daddy?
Well, you know, you have great talent. We're grooming you for 2024, by the way. I mean, not to break news on this program. I think Don Jr. thinks, you know, he got like a sort of a store brand version of my wife Melatonin to be his girlfriend. But to be honest, we all know it's going to be you. Don Jr. is just going to, you know, continue to hunt defenseless animals and do CrossFit with poor technique. And you're the one we're looking at for 2024.
Ooh. Well, you know, I've always loved when you groomed me. So that's very,
we're
going to
call,
very
flat. We're going to call the campaign 2036-24-36.
Oh, that's so clever. Can we put that on a hat?
I think we can.
Uh-huh. Daddy, the book talks about John Kelly, and does it still bother you that he called you a fucking idiot instead of just an idiot?
Well, I think, you know, as many Playboy Playmates can attest to, the fucking part is definitely true. The idiot part is the part that I take great, you know, John Kelly is an angry guy from, you know, like Boston people, they're always so angry. And, you know, I think he's a loser. He thought he could control me. He didn't have the talent or the strength to control me. And he's a loser. And then now he's complaining now that he's out of work.
Did you ever try on his uniform, Daddy?
Just the helmet. I role played with Madagascar and we would, you know, I would put on the helmet and order her around. And it was good because she's required to obey me twice a month per our strong prenup. So it was good.
Hey, so
I really want you to wear the helmet again.
We saw the news reports.
Excuse me, you don't interrupt the great Ivanka, okay? When she allows you to speak, you may talk.
I'm sorry. I apologize. May I speak now? We heard that Ivanka, you know what? I lost my train of thought because you cut me off. So never mind. Just never mind.
I wasn't even paying attention now. So that's okay. I wanted to hear more of Ivanka.
Oh,
you're so good at not paying attention, Daddy. That's what I love about you most is that
the greatest thing in the world, the greatest gift a father can have.
Yes.
Is a daughter that sounds like a phone sex operator.
Yes.
It is the greatest gift anywhere, I think.
Thank you, Daddy, so much. Thank you.
Now, I just heard some audio of Ivanka talking from a few years ago. And funny, your voice wasn't as breathy. You just didn't sound like this. Did something happen, Ivanka, to make you all whispery like that?
I took elocution lessons, Nicole,
I see.
So that when I went out on stage with my father, who you were speaking to on the other line, uh-huh. That I would sound mature and ready to lead.
Okay.
It's called breath augmentation. Okay, that's the process. Breath augmentation. It's a great, we're going to be selling it at a Trump Tower soon. She can teach the class. It's a great sort of technique. It makes the person sound so much more sort of competent and sexy. It's a great combination.
Oh, breath augmentation.
Breath augmentation. Got it.
Breath augmentation. Daddy likes when I say things that he says back to him so that he can hear them in slightly different intonations. Breath augmentation, Daddy.
It's a great thing to hear. It makes me, you know, sometimes I'll just, when I'm with my wife, Mylanta, I'll have her, we'll just play tapes that Ivanka's recorded.
Uh-huh.
It's
like
true.
The soundtrack.
Yes.
Yeah, but I heard that Melanoma and Ivanka don't really get along too well.
I hate her. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, and that's, you know, that's going to be natural because obviously Melatonin is the new, so you know, the third, we call her the third first lady. And that's a lot, you know, that's tough because obviously I'm always going to have special feelings for Ivanka, but, you know, it's, you know, you have to have somebody that you're not related to by blood as the first lady, so.
Yes.
But, you know, if I wasn't in office right now, I think we'd probably be divorced already, so.
Yeah, I think you probably would. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you about. That melanoma renegotiated your prenup before she'd move into the White House back when you first moved to Washington, D.C. So did you give her what she wanted?
Well, you know, let's be honest, okay? The Be Best campaign does not apply to her reading of English skills. So she thought she was being tough and doing the renegotiation, but we gave her, like, I'd say a few extra dollars a month.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but what I got in return was incredible, and I don't think she even realizes how strong the renegotiation went for me. You know, for instance, on my birthday, which passed recently, on Flag Day, great patriotism, I received a hall pass, which was not in the original prenup. So she had to leave for the day, and then we had, you know, we had a friend, actually two friends, come over to the White House for the birthday, and it was, you know, she didn't realize that she had signed that away. So I think it went much stronger for me, to be honest.
Okay.
Daddy always wins. Daddy is a winner.
I'm going to jump in here because we are getting close to the end of the hour. So I need to let everybody know who our Donald Trump is. And J.L. Coven, you are just fucking brilliant. You are just, you are so fucking great at this.
Oh,
his name is J.L., letter J, dash letter L, Coven, C-A-U-V-I-N. And you need to check out his YouTube channel because he does Donald Trump. Like every day there's another video. And your voice, you have the inflection down. You have all of his weird, mental, audible tics, things like, yeah, he's just,
sure,
you're
well,
just that good.
You.
I'm not good at saying it, but, yeah. So thank you for jumping in. I mean, we talked about doing this a while ago because Laffy does such a great Ivanka and you do the best Donald that I've
heard. Feeling uncomfortable. I guess that proves that I'm not fully immersed in the Donald Trump character like I thought because I kept thinking, I feel like this is inappropriate what I'm thinking with this voice. I'm supposed to be her father. What is this?
It is really kind of creepy.
I felt dirty talking to you, but not for the same reason.
Very sultry, and I feel like that's exactly what the real Donald Trump would love to hear. Which
exactly,
is
right?
Absolutely. And to answer, I mean, I was watching the YouTube chat room while you guys were doing this, and I got to say, all we did, I introduced them via email, but the two of you didn't plan anything. This was all improv.
Didn't.
This was all.
We never even went past one sentence on the email.
Right?
This is like brand new.
That was great. This was just
this is
so
great.
Much fun.
I love you. I love you, JL.
You were great, too. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was fun. I think Ivanka and Donald are going to have to get together, you know, occasionally in the future as we.
We'll have another rendezvous, Daddy.
Yes. So, JL.
Well, of course, I think we will.
Your YouTube channel, is there an easy link to it, or should I just post it on the blog where I post the podcast?
Oh, I guess you know it's just youtube.com/JLBAUVIN.
There you go.
So I guess
that's it. That's the easy one because now they don't give out like personalized YouTube addresses like that anymore. It's a string of numbers and stuff. So
yeah, I think you can once you hit a certain thresholds. I think you're allowed to. You can personalize it.
Gotcha.
But. So, I
will put a link on the blog at NicoleSandler.com where I post the show. J.L. Coven, you're great. Thank you for helping us laugh at the insanity that's going on in D.C. You're great, and I'm so thankful that you joined us for this. This was a treat.
Thanks again.
All right.
For having me.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thanks,
nice seeing you, Laffy.
Thanks, J.L.
All right. Bye. And Laffy, we're out of time for another week. So this was, this was good. We needed a laugh right about now, I think.
Oh, we did, didn't we? Oh,
we
boy.
Did.
Now I just need a trough of wine and I'll be fine.
I think I'll go imbibe in something, too. Tomorrow on the program, Jeff Charlotte will be here. Jeff Charlotte the man behind the family, has an amazing series article in Vanity Fair that you got to read. Anyway, got to go. We're done. Thank you, Laffy. Thank you, JL.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. You guys rock. We'll see you tomorrow on the Nicole Sandler Show. Bye.